That's a new recorder. Huh. All right. Well, hey, good evening, everybody. Thanks for coming out. Thank you for your patience. I apologize on my account. My son's theater group took a little longer to finish rehearsal this evening, and it just compounded. But I couldn't leave him stranded at school. So that said, thank you, everybody, for coming out. I believe George is getting refreshments going back there. So
George is running late, too.
Because George is running late as well. So so it looks like coffee, cookies. Please enjoy yourselves. We got Bruce here to give us a riveting presentation tonight, so you won't need the coffee, but it's there if you find that you do want it. I do know we have some new faces out here in the crowd. I'm not going to ask you to identify yourselves because that's it's been brought to my attention that sometimes people in this hobby don't appreciate that. We gather in the dark. Sometimes people would say that's like cockroaches. Others would say that's just like people that want to choose how they introduce themselves to others. But welcome. Glad to have you. And we hope you learn something tonight and have a little bit of fun while you're doing it. I would like to also put out a reminder to please log your volunteer hours, as Jeff is going to be going over our events for the month of March. And if you read my email that I sent out less than 24 hours ago, there are a lot of events coming up in the month of March, a lot of outreach opportunities, which are always fun. And I guarantee you, you know more about the night sky than any of the kids that are there or the adults. But so all that to say, if you haven't come out to an outreach event, please consider giving it a try. It's a lot of fun and it's worth the time. And it's really not as scary as we think. Also, so that said, please RSVP for events so people know who's going to be there, and please log your volunteer hours. A few of us take it upon ourselves to log other people's volunteer hours so that you get credit for it when we finally get our outreach award pins for the year. I guess the check's in the mail. But that said, please go ahead and log that just in case we don't happen to have one of those folks there, or it's just slipped our mind. Okay, that's all I have as far as greeting goes. So I'm going to not call on the vice president immediately because he's handing out door prize tickets. So I'm going to first go over to our treasurer, Rich. Take it away.
Do me for a loop here.
Oh, I know. Keep you on your toes.
All right, let me bring up the books. Yeah, we got 14 grand, man. We got lots of money. That's a $300 decrease from the previous month. Big expenditure was raffle prizes for East Coast Star Party. But Bruce stayed within budget. He actually came in well under budget. So that's a good thing. The big thing of note for February is I finished the purge of delinquents, people who didn't pay dues for the coming year. So we dropped from like 213 members down to 158. That's pretty normal. That's about the normal drop every February. And we'll probably get back over 200 by the end of the year and then get back down to 150 come this time in 1 year. That's all I got. Nothing too exciting this year. Or this month.
Yeah, let's get out of there.
If you have questions, hit me with them. If not,
oh, looks like Ben has a question.
Hey, all right. I just got back. I'm just saying.
Oh, Roger, right. Roger.
Sorry, I can't be there tonight.
Well, we miss you, but we're glad you're able to join us in spirit or electronic form, if nothing else. Rich, I do have two questions for you. One is a question. The other is a warning. First one is I forwarded you an email. We need to send some money for those outreach pins if we haven't already. I don't know if you've gotten that. If you saw,
I have
that.
Not done that. Actually, it was one of the I saw it come in and I ignored it, and then I actually read the email like a week or two after you sent it and realized I had to do something, and so I haven't done it yet, but I will. I have it on my list.
Excellent. And also, I'm also going to need to work with you. Just this is a heads up. We got the information from our club's attorney to make sure we file with the state corporation. I got that paperwork today, so I'll be working with you to make sure we get money to the state of Virginia, Commonwealth of Virginia.
Yep, no problem. Right.
And that said, we're also probably going to try and spend some of that huge amounts of club money a little bit this evening. Sean isn't here, but he sent me his wish list. Does anyone have any questions for the treasurer in his report?
I move to accept the treasury.
We have a motion to accept the treasurer's report. Second.
Third.
Approved by acclamation. All right. And wonderful. All right. So the treasurer's report is approved. So thank you, Rich. Jeff, are you ready to present thingies? Excellent.
Okay. Great.
Step off to the side.
Scholarship. Okay. Let me clear this okay here. There we go.
Scholarship.
Welcome, y'all. Okay. Y'all ready? Let's see if I can get my thing ready. Okay. I got my thing ready. Okay. And I'll share. It's always polite to share, except I can't see where I'm sharing here. I think this is it. That's not it. Wait a minute. Hang on.
I see something.
Why am I not sharing? I can't go to this and share, can I? Oh, come on.
Does Rich have sharing turned on?
You got sharing turned on, Rich?
I do. You had it up. You started sharing your screen. You just have to go to whatever.
Oh, I got it. There, no. This. No, not that guy. This guy. Click. Come on, man.
Can we send a millennial up to help Jeff?
Let's say what?
A millennial.
I can't hear you, man.
Unfortunately, it seems that our information technology can always tell as we're running behind, catching everyone.
So there's, I can share that screen. Why can't I share the other screen?
There you go.
I'm not trying to share that one, though. Hang on.
Go back to the sharing where it said Chrome tab. Do you have to click the actual name of the tab?
Well, I don't think so. Not before. I used to be an expert at this. I used to teach at this college, in fact. Doing this all the time. Dang. Okay, let's see. There's no place to share on this thing, is there?
Are you in the right tab in the Zoom to do that? Go back to the Zoom.
Back to the Zoom. That's what I was trying to do. Trying to do. Not this one, is it?
Yes.
This one?
Yes.
Oops.
Still there?
No, it's just you, yourself, and you.
It says TCCP.
Looks like Jeff dropped and trying to come back.
We're back now. I hear you now.
Here's the share again.
Make sure you're in the right
time. Sunny and share. See, it doesn't let me do it. Oh, okay.
That.
Never mind.
That. Share.
Never mind. Yay! Never mind. Okay, we got the club meeting today. Corn Watch is tomorrow, Friday. Oh, can you see? Can everybody see? Can everybody see the screen that I'm sharing?
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
Okay, very good. All right, excellent. BVES, that's Elementary School Star Party on Monday, Bayview. And I don't know how many volunteers for that, but let me go check and see how many volunteers we got for that. And we've got... one, that's moi. Okay, so we need some more volunteers for the Bayview Elementary Star Party, and it's not going to be much stars except for the sun. So yeah, if you could volunteer for that, we got a lot of no's and several hundred maybes. Okay, so let me run back to the next one thing here. I'm not selling it too good. Surrey Elementary School, we've got me and George signed up for that. We wake up about 5:30 in the morning, be there by 8 o'clock. She said it's okay if we show up at 8:30, so we got 30 extra minutes for sleep. I know you guys that aren't retired probably can't make it in the middle of the week on a Tuesday out to Surrey, which is in Dendron, Virginia. So we got some driving to do. All right. And for my next trick, let's see, Cornwatch and Skywatch on the 14th. Has anybody in here not been to Skywatch? That is the one to go to. Very good. You haven't? Okay, well, let me explain real quick what Skywatch is. We go out to Northwest River Park in the equestrian area, and there's a map in here somewhere. I think if you click on address, if you click on the address, yeah, Indian Creek Road, and it tells you, you know, and then you can put your starting address here. It tells you how to get there. But the bottom line is, wait a minute, I take that back. For some reason, it's not working right. It says Indian.
No, Indian Creek Road is the correct road. It's off Battlefield Boulevard.
Okay, I see. It's just showing us. It's showing us where we are.
If you find yourself coming from Battlefield and you find yourself at the actual main entrance to the park, you turn. You've gone too far. So turn around, look for the building sign, and take it.
Right.
Off, the southern side of Indian Creek Road. It's kind of behind a blind curve. But it's a good site, relatively dark. And usually, if it's a nice night, especially in the spring when there's not a lot of bugs yet, and it's relatively dark, you can get 20 or more telescopes out there.
Yeah.
Even if you don't have a telescope, feel free to come out, look through ours, or figure out what you like.
There's usually about 10 or 12 telescopes out there, and it tells you how to get there via the map. Of course, we all have GPS, so we don't need no stinking map. All right.
We only had six, but that was with frigid conditions and very hot winds.
And I was—we
were still out there, so it's not
yeah. Bad. I was in Houston, so I didn't make the last meeting, though. Okay, back to the ball game. Ah, hit the wrong thing, didn't I?
Nope.
Chrome. Night Sky Network. Share. Okay. All right. Where are we here? We got Chaos SR. What's Chaos?
River Star Party.
Staunton River Star Party.
That's the Chapel Hill Astronomical Society.
Very good.
I'm going. Everybody else going.
Wow, you guys are diehards. Diehards.
What's the date on that?
That is on the 16th of March.
Yeah. And it runs through the weekend. We just can't display it.
It runs through the 22nd.
Yeah.
Through the 22nd. Wow.
Yeah, there's a
that whole week.
All week option and a just the weekend option. Our East Coast Star Party is effectively a just the weekend option.
Okay. Very good. So that's Chaos.
Excellent event.
Has anybody not seen Night Sky Network? Need to navigate? I can show you how to get in there and all that. Okay. If you haven't seen it before, never done it, come on up after the meeting. I'll be glad to show you. We'll navigate you through. You can volunteer for stuff and things like that. We're trying to get you to volunteer anyway. For example, Thursday, Churchland Primary and Intermediate School is having a STEAM night, and that's 5:30 to 7:30. So sunset's about 7 o'clock as daylight saving. And we got how many volunteers? Let's see. Let's just check and see how many volunteers we got. We got three. That's good. Very good. All right. So that's good news. All right. We got Cornwatch, Nightwatch, and Chip Oaks. These are kind of relatively private for astrophotographers.
The question is, what is Cornwatch? Cornwatch, we're actually renamed it to Cornland Star Party for reasons that the Gen Z don't understand. But Cornwatch is an event at Cornland Park in Central Chesapeake. It's another pretty dark site. It is our club only. That is not to say that you need to be a super professional amateur astronomer. For no other reason than because that isn't the thing. But it is an opportunity to come out there, use our stuff, try things out, harass Kent sometimes when he decides to make it, look for unusually dim objects just with other amateur astronomers, so without the pressure of having to perform for the public, which is fun in and of itself. It's kind of an opportunity to do communal, semi-serious astronomy out there. That said, you It can go anywhere from trying out your new giant telescope to hanging out in a camp chair with a pair of binoculars and just spending some time with the constellation Leo, whatever you want to do. So
if you're only one out there, you got to get a permit.
So we do have a permit. If you go to the website, you will find there's on each occurrence, we have posted a copy of our permit. We've never been asked for it, but I encourage you to have it because there's usually something like 20 police cars parked there.
I don't see the permit.
It just so.
You went the wrong one. This is one of the church.
Yes.
Oh, that's what that
means. Talking about Cornland.
Yes, Churchland's, yeah. This isn't Cornland.
Oh, you're talking about Churchland. Oh, I did the wrong one.
Can you tell? You can. There is, sometimes people RSVP, but usually it's just sometimes there are groups that are
download a permit.
Occasionally meet up there. But there's usually, if it's clear, there's usually a couple people out there.
It's all filled
I've
out.
Seen as few as two. When Gabe and I went looking for the penguin galaxy.
Moving right along.
We convinced ourselves we found it to, I think we've had 10 or more out there, Will, some nights.
It's a lot more popular now than it used to be. There's usually somebody there.
Yeah. And we have it there every Friday, so that's kind of a regular recurring. We can get the park around sunset, and we can stay there until really sunrise. The permit says that it ends at midnight or on the Night Sky Network, but that's just for bookkeeping purposes. Yeah, the permit, it actually says until midnight. Until the following morning.
They were moving along. Night Watch Chip Oaks on Saturday. We got Garden Stars and another event in the morning. The Garden Stars is in the evening, although it's first here. But the Chesapeake Public and Intermediate School or something, I think that's for, they want to talk about the solar system. And I know I'm volunteered for that. So we could use a little bit of help on that. Astronomy 101, Mr. George right back there, the former president and gracious enough to give us drinks and things like that. He's going to be at Astronomy 101. And they always have telescopes out there at the end of it. Last time I didn't go because it was overcast where I was, so I didn't go. But that's a good thing to go to because right after his class, they all come out and see that. So that's kind of fun. Stream Night, Bird Neck Elementary. We're really busy in March, aren't we? And then Corn Watch and Saturday, Sunday. That is in Elizabeth River Park during the day. We watch the sun on Saturday, so we call it Saturday, Sunday. Okay.
Good turnout last weekend, Saturday, Sunday.
We had
four or five telescopes.
Yeah.
And three different
Scout troops. Wednesday, April Science and Sci-Fi sounds like a Chesapeake planetarium thing.
No, not Chesapeake planetarium.
Nope. What is that?
This is the movie Project Hail Mary is coming out, and we're partnering with the Chesapeake Public Library to do a talk about good science and the other in the book and movie. We're actually going to be doing, asked to do it twice, so we'll be doing one at Western Branch or Russell Memorial Library and then another one at Greenbrier Public Library.
Very good. And the next club meeting again is April, and I'll go ahead and stop now unless we want to talk about anything. I think we can go ahead and approve these other ones. I was waiting to get a location on a couple of them.
Well, we've got to be careful about some of them. For example, we've got the East Coast Star Party
starting
on this Thursday, and then we've got a head night.
Yeah, so, East Coast Star Party should be on every one of these, but it doesn't always appear, does it?
Yeah.
Okay. So we might have to send them a regret on that.
So obviously there's a lot of stuff going on, and that went fast. So if you have any questions about any of those events, you're not sure if you should participate, I will always say that you should because they're a lot of fun. Sometimes they seem imposing, especially if it's literally hundreds of school kids, but I'm sure it'll be fun.
Okay, back to the meeting. I think I blew.
Thanks, Jeff.
I think I blew your.
Oh, you had a question? Oh, okay. All right.
You blew my thing.
I blew your thing.
Oh, great.
I don't know what that means. Okay. Gabe, I'm going to go over to you as secretary report.
All right. So can everyone hear me okay?
Barely. Kind of.
Well, I mean, if need be, I'll just send you I'll just type it out and post it in here. But last meeting, it went pretty well. We were be well. There was a couple people who were out of town, but everyone stepped in and did their part. So everything went well. A lot of observing reports at the last meeting, there was I have six written down, so a lot. And then it was Jeremy did our presentation, and then Bring the Stars, talking about the catalogs, the Messier, the NGC, the Catwell, the Planisade, etc. It was a really good meeting. Everything went pretty smoothly, and that's really all I have.
Okay. Any questions for the secretary? Okay. Thank you, Gabe. Next, Ben, are you in a position to talk, or should we wait back?
Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you.
Okay, great. Hey, there's been an update. I reported last time that the Nick Anderson, the City of Virginia Beach, reached out to post that the Nick Anderson Memorial Scholarship. And then shortly thereafter, they realized that they didn't have any more funds. So that scholarship has been defunded, unfortunately, because it was originally started by City of Virginia Beach and the astronomy program at the planetarium. But we still have, and we have sent out the information on the Back Bay Amateur Astronomer Scholarship as well as the Georgie June Memorial Scholarship. So it's still about $4,500 worth of scholarships going out. And we sent that out to the Hampton Roads schools and obviously the City of Virginia Beach as well. So the deadline is May 1st. We'll get the, we usually give them a couple weeks afterwards. So hopefully by the June meeting, we'll have the recipients and then we'll report that to the club. So I'll have to report.
All right. Thanks, Ben. Any questions for our scholarship committee chair? All right. Thanks, Ben.
Thank you.
Bruce, I'm going to go ahead and call on you now as both the ALCOR and the East Coast Star Party coordinator.
Okay. So for those of you that are new here tonight, if you join the club, you automatically get a membership to the Astronomical League, and you get this fine publication, The Reflector, as part of your membership. Astronomical League is a consortium of about up to 25,000 members nationwide and over 300 clubs. So,
what's down to 15,000 now after the year's turnover?
Oh, okay.
I'm kidding.
Whatever. So, I told my dad that there are that many. He goes, "There's that many?" I said, "Yes, there are." So, anyway, I'm going to talk tonight about some of the observing awards, but I'll do that later. I want to recognize the people who have received observing awards as of this issue. They're always published in the back. My personal hero, Jonathan Sheets, right here, has received the 2025 Observe the Moon Challenge, as has our own Jeremy Mitchell.
Hey.
Okay. In addition, Jeremy Mitchell has overachieved with the Huygens Toes Observing Challenge, and you must now explain what the Huygens Toes Observing
Challenge. I'm happy to do so.
Where are the toes?
So the Huygens Toes Observing Program was actually talking about a few months ago, there was a series of opportunities to observe a, shadow transit on the surface of Saturn. So many of us went out and did it at various times, some at 2 in the morning. Some of us waited until a much more genteel 4:30 or 5 o'clock and lucked out when a frankly irresponsible amount of power using a Barlow and a 4-millimeter eyepiece managed to get it to snap into crystal clarity. So basically it involved you going out and doing outreach opportunities, talking about the moons of Saturn and what you saw, as well as taking an observation of Saturn. I actually did 3 different sketches of what I saw. It kind of almost looked like Saturn was a donut. And I'll pass these around. These are actually relevant to Bruce's presentation later on, because some of you might be like, man, doing one of these observing programs seems really hard and challenging and difficult, and it's really not. I apparently went way overboard with what I wrote up, but you can see that it can be pretty easy and simple. And I also have the one for the Observe the Moon Challenge. One of them came with a pin. I don't remember which one it was.
Okay.
All right, thank you, Jeremy. So those are the three awards from the March issue. So
Bob Berline got an award too.
That was in December.
Hubble.
Yeah.
And our own Steve Balotelli had two printers in the back of the magazine.
He did. And he was credited for his old astronomy club. We all knew it was him.
Oh, so this one was taken at Macon's Castle in Surrey, the sodium trail of Mercury by Steve Balavia. Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. I never knew Mercury had a sodium trail. Now I do. All right. Anywho, so this is a really great pub. So check it out. I guess I'll plug the East Coast Star Party now. So everybody, does everybody have a hand up?
We've got some more.
Yep, there are lots more. Okay. I am merely the figurehead of an excellent committee that organizes the East Coast Star Party two times a year. For those of you that are new, we used to do this in a coin jock, and Kent Blackwell was our awesome host for 22 years.
25?
25 years. Okay. So we have a hiatus during.
Yeah, maybe kind of.
We'll have an old contract.
Kind of.
So we had a hiatus, and we decided to model a lot of this off of the Salt River Star Party at Chippewa State Park. So anyway, we do this twice a year. This is the schedule. But long story short, it goes on April 16th per the calendar that was up there. Starts at 2 p.m. And we have all night observing, and we have all night coffee and hot dog tent now, I believe.
We do.
Okay. And on April 17th, Friday, public observing is from 7 to 10. So we partner with the park. That's the public observing night. We usually get, the first time we did this, in October 2023, we had in excess of 120 guests. So we didn't get mobbed as much after that. But it's still fairly popular. If it's clear, there will be people showing up at the telescopes. Okay, local sunset is at 7:45, and again, free coffee all night long. In the event of rain or clouds, you get to go listen to me talk about astronomy at the conference center while it's raining outside. I've only had to do it twice in five times so far. So April 18th on Saturday. There is a cookout with hot dogs, hamburgers, and a potluck at the observing site. Raffle prizes will be announced. So what did I cough up this time? So I have a budget of $800, and I just went hog wild. It was wonderful. High Point Scientific. So I got a Celestron lithium power tank, a Orion Go-To 80 millimeter refractor backpack telescope in honor of George Reynolds and the Short 280. I think Gabriel won that last time, didn't you, Gabriel? You having fun with that?
What, the backpack scope? I've only taken it out a couple times, but yeah, it's way more convenient to travel with than the 10 inch.
Okay, cool. So I got another one because it went over so well. All right. And then he got some Zoomlil 20x80 super giant astronomical binoculars. You really need a tripod for those. They're awesome for large wide field objects. I got an Aperture Deluxe Fossil 1.25-inch eyepiece kit and a Explorer Scientific Argon Purge waterproof 40mm 2-inch eyepiece. These are all fairly high dollar items, so I blew my budget. But I also, I like to buy books. I bought 8 books so far. I hang out in used bookstores on the weekend. And they're funny because I go, all you ever buy is astronomy books. Don't you buy anything else? I go, no. So anyway, so I had 8 books. I could always find a Peterson guide to Stars and Planets. And then my favorite, Carl Sagan's Cosmos.
Billions and Billions.
Yeah, sold billions and billions of copies.
Yeah. Okay. So, come on out and win some of this stuff. I'm sure you have many other questions, but for the sake of time, I've crammed as many answers to your possible questions on this one piece of paper as I can. And if you have any additional questions, please check out our BCSP homepage at beckbayasker.org, created by our masterful webmaster, Sean Lozier. Okay, so registration is $60, due by April 12th, next month. So time's a-wasting. So the registration is open. Please register by then, because that dictates how many t-shirts we print.
We are probably going to cut off t-shirt orders before April 12th.
Okay, well, he needs to change the website.
Okay, we will do that, because okay. It takes Sean and I a finite amount of time to print shirts.
Okay, well, you only get 2 days. That's okay.
So. Yeah, that's why we changed that.
Okay, all right. If you, yes, ma'am.
So a question, I don't know if this is on the sheet that you printed, because I don't have one, but is it $60 for, like,
he dies.
Is it $60 for the member, or is it for the member and family? Like, I'm trying to, is it
per astronomer?
Per astronomer.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, you can bring your entire family and still pay $60.
Okay.
Now, if you stay on the field and you camp, that's a different deal. So, are you going to camp?
Yeah,
okay. All right.
There's a tent. You know, you can camp in a tent.
Yeah.
There's no charge for that.
Okay.
Well, there's no additional charge. $60
right. Okay,
is
right.
The charge.
I'm selling my 8-10.
So to answer your question that I think you understand, that I think I understand you asked, is, you know, how much, what is the fee? And the answer is, it is $60 per astronomer. And then for every additional person that you're bringing to the barbecue, I believe we asked for, is it $5 additional? So if you're bringing a family of four, you're the only astronomer, everyone else is just there to hang out, have a good time, and enjoy the camping activity on the big field at Chipotes, then that would be 60 plus, I think it's $5 per person. We have to check the website, so 15. The t-shirts are extra, and they're always fun. We've got a great design in the works, but it's always a secret until the day of, because otherwise Kent will tell me that we messed up and let the cat out of the bag. So
if you register and you go to the registration page and tell us what you want, t-shirts, number of people, you know, the number of astronomers, it will calculate the amount of money to suck out of your account, and then we'll get it.
It's a pretty reasonable price. It also does include, on Friday night, we're going to be doing a spaghetti dinner before the public night happens, and then Saturday we have the barbecue midday where we do the raffle drawings. So I think you probably get more than $60 of value out of it, even if you don't win one of Bruce's big prizes with one of his books.
Okay. Anybody have any other questions? We have a great time, even when it rains. Amazing. So, anybody have any questions? Oh, yes. Okay. All right. If you have any questions later, go to the website and check it out. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Bruce. Okay. That is actually everything for our committee reports and such. So I'm going to open the floor up for observing reports, while Bruce tries to get his presentation pulled back up.
I'll let you go.
I suspected you might.
Go ahead.
Mr. Blackwell.
Okay. So, I like to go on cruises.
Yeah.
Oh, and every time I'm on a cruise in a day at sea, it seems like I have to walk by some of the shops, go past the jewelry department, the camera department, to the binocular. I have 33 pairs of binoculars. Do I need another pair of binoculars?
Yeah.
But often on cruise ships that I find they have an unusual binocular. I went 6 months on a cruise 6 months ago out of New York, and they were sitting a nice little pair of 10x25 size binoculars. How much is that? And I looked it up to see what it sold at B&H Photo in New York. And it's the same price as cruise ship. Okay. Now, I just got back from a cruise, a Mardi Gras cruise. And besides beads, I bought another pair of binoculars. And this is the binocular. About a year ago, I brought a pair of Ogenons in here, if you remember. They weigh 6.5 pounds. It was the first stabilized binocular made for Canon. Canon is most notoriously known now as making stabilized binoculars. But anyway, these are made by Fujinon, and they're 16x28. So 28 millimeters, 16 power, okay, 28 divided by 16, that gives an exit group of 1.75 millimeters. Is that a night glass? Not really. But
for people of a certain age, it might be okay.
That's true. You know, Gabriel probably has 6.5, 7 millimeter exit group. Most of the people in this room probably is 2.5 millimeters. So anyway, but big thing is the magnification. Just the other night, I looked at the Pleiades with my 10 by 50s, which have four times the light brass of these. I counted about 8 or 9 Pleiades stars in the city, counting 30 of these. Not only is more power, but stabilized.
So stabilized.
Like having them on a tripod, they're stabilized.
Watch.
They use one tiny little battery. The Fujinons I brought in here, which I got 25 years ago, take 8 AA's. Two of those batteries are more than that. Anyway, so I've also got a pair of Canon stabilized 10x30, and they're nice, but 16 hours, really nice. I bought these mainly on cruises to look at land objects, and to look at people's windows and things like that. But they actually turn out to be pretty good. Nice. So, on the last cruise we won, I got together. Robert Hood and I got together about 20, 25 people and aft into the ship and said, let's look for the green flash. You know, sunset, sometimes you see. And sunset, no green flash. But told people, look with binoculars after sunset and look for Venus. This cruise line that I was on, Celebrity, supplies you with a pair of binoculars at each stateroom. And they're twice as good as these, you would say, because when you look through them, everything you see is double. Worse than I've ever seen. But, you know, they probably were on the ship for a couple of years, people dropping them. But anyway, I told people, look at Venus. Look, I see it. And I said, Venus in the bottom of the field of view, and look up Mercury. People were really excited to see it. But now look at the moon, the 5-day-old moon. Put that in the right hand side field of view and look to the left. So, but you need binoculars for the next planet. Jupiter. So, you know, cruise lines don't realize what how interesting it can be. They're all lit up like Christmas trees, but if they find a dark spot, people are interested in the passengers of it. So, anyway, we were down here at the Yucatan. And the sky was unbelievable. The Portel 2, where one would be on the moon, maybe. So this was a really dark sky. Unfortunately, it was a 5-day-old moon, so it didn't look that way. But what was neat was Orion was up here, and Canopus was about this high. So we can actually see Canopus from here. I have a picture from that I took about 40 years ago in Canopus, took the Star Trail right along that horizon. So we can actually see it here. We have a perfect horizon, but it's real scary. And anyway, that's my one more thing. On this ship, which is a celebrity ship called the Constellation, that's the name of the ship. Hell, apropos.
Oh, good.
So we went to the captain's party, and there's a big picture in this room, beautiful state, beautiful. Where the party was at. And anyway, there's a bunch of lines on the picture, and Robert Hint and I looked at it. We knew what it was. So we asked the captain in the first office, do you know what that is? They said, yeah, I think it's a bunch of scratches on the picture. And that three scratches in a row, one scratch in Star Trail and Orion, Constellation Orion. It's a neat chart. They said, we've been on the ship 6 years. We never knew what that was. And then the ship is the Constellation. That was kind of neat. But anyway, if you want to look at these binoculars out,
how much would they cost?
And if you drop them, you'll make
$1,000. $1,005.
Jeff, you have
I got a quick NOAA, and you'll see why in a minute. Jeremy and I spent an hour on the phone picking out the greatest place to watch the lunar eclipse. Greatest place in the world. It's over there by
TCC vocational thing. It's right on the water. Got a great western horizon. We're all set to see the eclipse of the moon all the way down. When, in fact, when a fully eclipse, it's like 2 minutes before moonset.
You had all your equipment, too.
We're all ready for it, except overcast.
Oh.
200-mile radius overcast. Every place in this area overcast.
That's crazy.
I was willing to go 50, 60 miles to see the thing.
Except in New York, they had a good
shot. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I just want to share that, what we did see.
That said, we've identified this spot as a possibility for future events that require a Western Horizon. It's really hard to get around here, at least until we can convince the city of Virginia Beach to let us back on Mount Trashmore in a reasonable time. So we're still working that, but we found a spot that we're reasonably convinced no one's going to worry about us being there for that sort of event.
And where is it? What spot? Where is it again?
It is, well, I got the address of the vocational center.
If you know where the Mondor Merrimack Bridge Tunnel is.
Well, yeah, and you know, it's not the TCC, the old Portsmouth campus.
Near, yes, no. Near not, not the Portsmouth
campus.
That's
where we have our observatory and stuff. That had a great Western Horizon.
That's interesting.
Near there, though.
But over in the Suffolk area, they have a basically, trucking spot.
Cool.
Yeah, we think it's a reasonable spot because it's got a nice,
water.
Clear
yeah, that's
shot.
Yeah, near where I live. Yeah, cool.
So, other than Kent's adventures on the sea and Jeff's agitation with us not being able to see the lunar eclipse, any other observing reports?
Yeah, that's crazy because New York never gets to see the eclipse. But
did you get to see it?
No, only on social media. But, you know, it's like New York always gets the cloud cover because it's always smog out there. And then all of a sudden, here we go. New York gets a clear sky. How amazing is that?
Well, someone must have gotten a really great telescope because we've been socked in with clouds for weeks, it seems like.
Right here, actually,
someone.
Yeah, I'm sitting on a new telescope.
Oh, okay.
Somebody was selling a telescope out in Fairfax. I was willing to travel all the way to Fairfax. One of those electronic ones, the long ones with the little scope on it. It has the Nikon built into it. You know, it costs like $3,000.
They're
selling it for $600.
Nice.
And I'm like, let me go out there. This was in January. All of a sudden, the flu hits me. Right at that moment, I'm like, oh man, but I'm not feeling so well. And then somebody else was in line. They were closer, and I said, no, I have to make my travel. I shouldn't have said that. I should have said, yeah, I'll be there tomorrow.
Well.
I would have got it.
Well, fingers crossed that between the flu and the clouds, we're going to have a clearer March because, as obviously discussed earlier, we've got a lot of outreach events going on. That will be a lot more fun if we're not sick or sick of clouds.
You have to wait till 7:30 for the sun to go down. But other than that, it's fine.
It's fine. My kids are still doing homework at that point, so it's not like I need to go ahead and observe before that anyway. Okay. February was a short month, and it was cloudy for about half of it, so I can understand if we don't have too many observing reports.
Okay. I actually wanted to get that telescope for the club. That's why I wanted to go all the way out there, so that I could share it, because you could only see it like on a tablet.
Mm.
If you use it. I mean, it still had a little, you could see it through the eye scope, but it's all electronic. So then I would have to get one of those 10-inch tablets and all that stuff after that, but. It would have been great to share it, you know, especially if we have one of those elementary school stuff or whatever, you know, that would be great.
Well, you know, there's another opportunity for an astrograph that works well with a tablet. The Georgie June Memorial Scholarship Raffle Prize is a C-Star S50.
And a nice Vagler 15-millimeter eye.
Which actually dovetails quite neatly to the next item on the agenda, which is old business, where one, I was going to remind people that raffle tickets are still available. I have a few on me, George.
I forgot to bring mine.
Okay.
I forgot mine.
Well, we've got tickets if you're interested. They're $5 a piece, and the proceeds go to fund the Georgie June Scholarship. It's a scholarship we give away every year to a good, deserving local high school student. And it was dedicated in honor of Miss Georgie June, who was a member, active outreach member of our club and was taken away from us too early. To my sadness, I never had an opportunity to meet Miss Georgie June, but I've heard so many great things. I can rattle off that part from memory now.
I'm sorry.
But so if you're interested, please come see me after the meeting, and we'll be happy to get you hooked up with a ticket. Raffle is going to be drawn at the April meeting, which is next month. Wow, time it's coming up. Okay. Other item of old business that I'm tracking is we did a lot of folks ordered the Royal Astronomical Society of Canada's handbook. I have delivered most of them. There's a few folks on my list that I have not had an opportunity to deliver. And I know that there's at least one person who's not here. But if you did order a handbook, I have it. I'm happy to give it to you. If you didn't, then you're probably not hearing my voice. So it's all good. All right. Gabe, is there anything else for old business that I'm not tracking? Keep me honest, Secretary.
Nope, I think that's everything.
Yes.
Who provides the membership cards?
Oh,
I do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And just to remind you,
I need a list of anybody that doesn't have one so I can make you an ID card. Now, I thought I was all caught up, except I think there's enough. I didn't check for the January yet.
Yeah. So February. We'll check, and we may have it on.
See me quick. In fact, put your name on the roster. Where's the roster sheet?
It's over here. Yeah.
Put your name on there, circle it or something, put ID card if you need one.
This is Calvin here. He's been around for a while. Might
yeah.
Have oh, you would only have one. It could be, yeah.
We'll sift through here in just a second.
Go ahead and circle it. I'll make sure I have one.
All right. I'm going to say that's probably it for old business, unless Gabe jumps in and corrects me. So on to new business. I've got two items that were sent to me by Sean Lozier, who's not able to make it because his daughter's getting married. Seems to be the trend for tonight, just people not being able to make it. The East Coast Star Party t-shirts, we do fund those from the club and then produce them and then sell them as part of the East Coast Star Party. It is, we do turn a small profit from them, but that goes to fund Bruce's...
is it a cool shirt?
It's an amazing shirt.
Is it an amazing shirt?
Jeff, would you like to demonstrate?
Yes.
The other, no, sorry, Jonathan. Jonathan.
This was the last.
One. Yeah. So this was the shirt from the last East Coast Star Party.
This is catwalk out here.
Yeah.
Getting
oh boy. Oh. And that's how we get demonetized. So we make, I think, pretty fun shirts. There's always a different theme, always a different color. That's always a surprise until you show up and get it. But they're pretty good shirts. That said, we do need blank stock in order to get the. Oh, there we go.
This was from years ago.
That's a cool one right there.
This Robert made, and that was pretty neat. That was 2017. Anybody see the eclipse that year?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I think I was at
Nashville.
Now you've seen the shirt.
Sure.
So we don't presently have sweatshirts on there, but we could look into it, although that will require some last-minute finagling. That said, Sean is requesting a budget. He estimates that the shirts that we'll need for East Coast Star Party plus, you know, a little bit of overage so we don't have to do a last-minute high-priority order that we will then turn into other shirts like the ones Jeff's wearing or the ones we could sell at the Boardwalk for Boardwalk Astronomy. Make some more money for the club for other purposes. So got to fund that library telescope program somehow. He's asking for, he says $199.06. I recommend that we go ahead and go up to $250 just in case there's a last minute fluctuation, unless the club would like to say, let's go ahead and double that order, get some other colors so that we have some additional stock to make BBA club t-shirts and shirts to sell at the Boardwalk, because that would be awesome.
Make a motion to double the amount.
Which amount? The 199?
So
200
so
plus another 200.
250 plus another 250?
250.
Okay. So there's a motion to spend $500 for t-shirt stock so that we can make the East Coast Star Party t-shirts as well as future.
So that it could be sold over at like Virginia Beach.
Right. So
at the Neptune Party,
so once a month in spring and summer, we are out at the 24th Street Stage area for
yes.
Boardwalk Astronomy.
It's a big deal. Yeah.
It's a great time, and we usually have somewhere between 200 and 300 people turn out. One, we get paid by the events company that the city hires to do it. That money goes into our scholarship fund to further drive some of our, I think that goes into our general scholarship fund. But we could also sell these t-shirts out on the boardwalk, get people who are interested in astronomy, turn a bit of money for our other educational purposes, not just for the scholarship program.
Are we allowed to do that?
Yep.
You know, Virginia Beach got a little
particular. This is not the city of Virginia Beach. This is Beach Events or
whatever. Okay. Yeah.
It's a contractor. We go to the contractor. We have nothing to do with Virginia Beach.
Right.
We
have their approval.
On selling?
Yeah.
I don't know if we asked him about that before,
selling
George.
The shirts fall, yeah. So I have not the event. I know we have permission to the event, but we're selling.
That is a good question. Well, yeah, we're a 501c3 nonprofit, so it shouldn't be hard for us to get permission for that. But that's a fair point, Kent.
Yeah, I really don't want bruises on my wrist. You know.
That's fair. So we will definitely dig into that before we start selling on the boardwalk. That said, having the additional shirt stock either for the next Star Party or to make more BBA Club t-shirts, because we haven't had a batch of those in a while, I think would be advantageous. But that said, this the motion is in danger of dying for want of a second.
Second.
Okay, it's moved to second. Any additional discussion now?
Have the shirts always sold out in the past?
For the Star Party?
For any of the shirts that have been ordered, has there ever been an issue of actually ordering stock for the shirts and then having like overstocked stuff left over?
That's a great question. There have been times. So generally, in the past, we have ordered our shirts from a local embroidery company that makes them for us. They charge us an exorbitant rate, and we order them as we need them. So we have in the past turned out with having extra stock, but that's because people just order them and never pick them up, which is a separate problem. They're all paid for. It's just I think I've got 6 or 7 that are sitting in a cabinet that I just stopped bringing to meetings because no one was interested in that. And we do occasionally, we make the East Coast Star Party shirts to order. As people sign up, we do have a cutoff point. We don't make extras. We just print what we need. And anything that's beyond that, we still have a couple of those turquoise shirts from last Star Party's order that are clean blanks that we can use for additional purposes. This company also has, in the past, they sent us something like twice as many shirts as we actually ordered because we think it's a marketing move. And if so, it's a good one because that's why we're going back to them again, hoping that they'll do the same thing. So that said, like I mentioned, the shirt that Jeff is wearing right now is it is our club t-shirt. It's a multicolor shirt, not one that we're necessarily going to be able to do. We have the ability to print up to 4 colors. We're not there yet, but we could definitely make just general Back Bay Amateur Astronomers t-shirts for people or sweatshirts or what have you for people to wear at a much lower price, either passing the savings on to the members or passing the savings into our other educational funds. So it was a long-winded answer to what was actually a really short question. So I'm sorry about that. Sir.
Can I ask what they would sell for, the ones, say, outside of the East Coast?
The club shirts? Mm-hmm. Off the top of my head, it would probably be around $10.
Being a nonprofit, mm-hmm. I thought I've seen places where they say there is not a sale, but they ask for a donation, like a $10 donation for an item.
So we are allowed to sell and resell. We don't turn a profit because we don't have organizational expenses. None of us get a paycheck, and all of the proceeds get turned around into our activities and our educational funds and services. We don't generally plan on or ever price our club paraphernalia in a way that makes a lot of money for the club. It's usually, I think it's going to be about $9, so we'll say 10, so that way it's covered. It's a fair
back
question.
To that question about whether we can sell them.
Oh, that, yeah, absolutely.
So
yeah.
I was saying is that.
that's a great question. That we'll make sure that we iron that out. The biggest issue is going to be the the issue of, are we going to get in trouble for selling on the boardwalk, which is, I think, Ken's concern. I also don't want to go to jail, so that's fine.
I have a question. I'm sorry to just break into there.
It's open discussion.
I noticed that there had been previous shirts, and I have not been here before. Now I feel bad because I never got a chance to pay for a previous shirts before. Now I missed that chance, right? Our website, or do we even have a non-profit website?
We do. Yeah, backbayastro.org.
I have some DBA t-shirts. Cardboard box. And I used to bring to every meeting, but nobody ever bought any, so I stopped bringing them. Yeah. So I can bring them next time.
No, wait. Well, before you do that, I have an idea. Okay? And this is for, not for us, but for the nonprofit itself. And it's just an idea. This is what I did back when I was getting in school, too. But growing up, why not recycle the shirt? Because obviously the people that paid for the shirts didn't want to get the shirts. They did it for the nonprofit organization to provide funding for the nonprofit. So recycle the shirts back into, for the nonprofit and put it online on the .com and see if people want to buy previous shirts in the past.
So we can certainly look into doing that.
I don't know if it's complicated or is it too much or get somebody that be in charge of it.
So it's definitely something we can look into. We need to do a review of our holdings anyhow. So
instead of them being floating around in everybody's boxes.
So take a note to look into that. Okay. No.
The motion is still open.
The motion is open if there's any further discussion. Okay. I'm going to say that we're probably past that point. Calling the question. All right. All in favor of authorizing up to $500 worth of shirt blank purchase?
Aye.
All opposed? All right, eyes have it. Rich, we're going to spend some of your money. I mean, some of the club's money. All right, on that same subject, that is talking about East Coast Star Part, or rather t-shirts that we can screen print. We do have on our club website other apparel for purchase that goes through our embroidery group. We pay a fair bit more for that. We do have one outstanding order, which means I'm in the process of trying to circle up anybody else who wants to buy hats, sweatshirts, pullover jackets, etc. On our website, it takes you to Cavalier Sportswear. There are all sorts of different options of varying qualities that you have available to you. Basically, just let us know what you want. Send me an email saying, hey, I'm interested in this. You're not committing yourself to that. Just letting me know that you have an interest so I can find out what the price point is. And then I'm going to take whatever Cavalier tells me, and I'm going to round up to the nearest dollar and tell you it's going to cost that much. They do, however, want to have those in big batches, and that passes the savings along to us. I think that their prices are really high because they can charge it because embroidery is expensive. So that said, things that are available, sun hats, ball caps, hoodies, fleeces, jackets, even Carhartt-style thermal gear. I'm planning on getting a set of the Carhartt overalls and big heavy jacket for next winter, thereby guaranteeing we're going to have 5 years of nice mild winters. But I encourage you to do the same thing, because not only do you get the nice quality stuff, you also get the cool BBA logo, like the one on my shirt, that you can identify yourself out in the field. It isn't so...
Is that pretty easy to find on the website? Because I feel like I went looking after last month. I was looking for the link on the website, and I can't remember if I...
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I'm happy to show you where it is in the menu bar. There's, I want to say, the fourth one over. There is an option for store.
Okay.
It's when there.
BBAA. Yeah. BBA store, and then scroll down to purchase apparel.
Okay.
About right here on the phone.
Do we have patches?
We don't need those stinking patches. sorry, couldn't resist. Let's see. So you go to we do not have patches necessarily. That might be something worth looking into. So you go to BBA store, you can purchase a membership here, you can purchase BBA apparel, and then there's a whole list. These are some examples, but if you go to any of these, you can go to the Cavalier Sportswear website. It'll give you options of all the different things. So let's say I'm interested in an insulated jacket because it's coming out of winter. So you have all sorts of different ones. You can go from, it goes from Brooks Brothers all the way through to Carhartt to Columbia to all sorts of others. So pick your poison. Let me know which one you're interested in when you send the email so we can get you that information, get the exact quote, and then we'll figure out how to get your money, and then we'll get you your shirt. That said, there's some here that are automatically built in, but if that's not the case, we'll work it out. If you're interested in something that isn't in the drop-down menu. I'm really sorry about all the buttonology going into this one tonight. At least the IT worked this time.
Yes. I'm loving it. But if you can get that size patches like that, I could put it on my fisherman, vest. Or I could get a fisherman vest and I could just sew it on.
Okay.
I could just put my little red flashlight in there. All that good stuff.
That's a good idea, a lot of versatility with it. So yeah, I'll definitely look into it. We might be able to get them cheaper than some of these things. So I'm not actually looking for a motion on that. This is really just seems like a little more involved than an announcement. That said, anyone have any additional new business? Because I don't know about you folks. I'm looking forward to not hearing me talk for a little while. Until I heckle Bruce. All right. In that case, I'm going to go ahead and turn the floor over to our illustrious Astronomical League coordinator. He pulled it up.
Okay, can those out in Zoom land see my share here? Zoom land, can you see my screen?
Yes, I can see it.
Excellent. Okay, good evening. I'm Bruce Powers. I've been doing this crazy hobby for 40 years. I've been a Back Bay Amateur Astronomers member since 2015 when a coworker literally drafted me from the workplace and told me to start coming to these meetings, Jim Tolman. And I currently have 5 telescopes, 2 electronic and 3 non-electronic. They keep replicating in my garage. They're like rabbits. So I don't know what's going on. Anyway, all right. So I'm going to give you a very high-speed brief on the Astronomical League observing programs. This was actually provided by the Astronomical League, not me. So I blatantly co-opted it to speak with you all tonight. Okay. So what I hear a lot is I don't know where to start. But basically, by joining the BBAA, you are a member of the Astronomical League. And you know the website, astroleague.org. So as I step through this, I'm actually going to step through parts of the website as well in parallel. What do you need?
You're fine.
Okay. All right. So where to go first? So there's a blog up here, and I'll show you where that is. And, okay. So there's a, this is the website itself. If I'm calling in from Zoom land, I frequently throw this up here. The blog is down here. More astronomical news can be found here. So you click here and it takes you here. So this is, it's actually a very active organization. There's a lot of people nationwide that are contributing news to all of this. So just for example, they have AL Live, which are, talks that are on different astronomical topics that are presented by Zoom. Observing program coordinators are needed. So Is everybody familiar with what a blog is? Do you know what a blog is? Okay. All right. All right. So basically, it's a web page list of stuff that's going on. I don't know if any people look at them. I used to look at them all the time. But I look at this one. So like Jeremy mentioned, if you don't want to observe 50 objects or 100 objects, you can do a challenge frequently associated with a object flying through the solar system or a NASA mission. So this is the Hubble 35th Anniversary Observing Challenge. 3i Atlas, the extragalactic object, extra solar object that blasted through the solar system. A couple of people, I think Jeff was able to image it.
And George.
Okay. So that's a observing challenge that involves a outreach program, which Jeremy mentioned he did for his. There's a smart telescopes and citizen science. And yes, fraudulent emails. So, you know, if somebody says, send me money because you're in the astronomy club, don't. So
thank you for covering.
Yeah, okay. All right. So that's the deal on the blog. Okay, note the links at the bottom, more on this later. Okay, so make sure you go to astroleague.org and then review your program options. There are a large number of them. It depends on your interest and your gear. So get the book to use an observing log. We have several examples up here. If you're happy, welcome to come look at them. I'm working on the globular cluster program, which is 50 objects to image. Jeremy brought some other samples, universe sampler and Messier objects. Okay, so this is the one that people typically gravitate to, which I'll cover later, but there are other options, especially if you're new to this hobby, don't do this, or don't do this, okay? You should really concentrate on some other options that I'll show you.
Do the moon.
Yeah. The moon. All right. All right. So,
not because it's easy, but because it's hot.
So, create a binder with tabs to hold the requirements for your chosen observing programs. Yes, I did it. So, here's mine. I like to collect things that are related to globular clusters that will help me get through this program. And I stick them all in my binder. All right. So, there are thousands of things to see in the sky. And where do you start? So go to the observing program object lists. There's something there for everybody. Okay, so up at the top, you go to this link here, which I'll go there now. Okay. So again, up here at the top. And then here's observe. And observing programs listed alphabetically. Okay, so here they all are from A to Z. What was the one you wanted me to emphasize? Anyway. Yeah. Okay, so there are easier ones in here if you're new to the hobby. Binocular, observing awards down here somewhere. There's even one for kids, the Sky Puppy Observing Program. There's radio astronomy sketching. Anybody can sketch space, weather, near Earth objects, urban observing. So they've really gone out of their way.
That urban observing one is a good one to start with.
Okay, all right. So if you live in Australia, you can do your Southern Skies Binocular Observing Program. So, outreach.
Do we have this link?
Yes, it's
on the
blog.
Yeah,
it's on the
website. Yeah.
It's one of our links.
Yeah.
I'm new. Excuse me.
Okay. Okay. So, the Outreach Observing Award, we can go there. Jeff wanted to emphasize this one. So, at the beginning of each one of these is a outreach coordinator. There's a program coordinator. This one is Krista Lemoyne in Bountiful, Utah. Okay, so it discusses the requirements to submit your logs, really, is the gist of all of this. So each one of these is unique. I'm not going to read these to you. You can read them just as well as I can. But suffice to say, you're either submitting, USB sticks of pictures, or you're submitting, observing logs that have descriptions of objects. And like Jeremy had on his, he had a couple of circles that he drew his stuff in, and so did I, okay? So there's observing logs in the back of these that you can make multiple copies of, and there's lists of all the different objects as well. But again, that's really more advanced, and you probably should be attempting those with telescopes. But if you don't have a scope and you don't have binoculars, you can do the outreach award, okay?
It's also worth noting that different ones of these programs have different requirements for the level of fidelity and difficulty associated with your observation. For example, the lunar observing program that was discussed, all you really have to do is go find things on the moon and say, yep, I found it on this day. And it's really just a checkoff list with a couple of questions to answer. Then moving up in difficulty, even though Bruce doesn't like the Messier objects list or its programs, there's the binocular Messier program, just has you find each of the objects and then write a description of what you see. And then you get into more elaborate ones that require you to make a sketch of what you found in low power and in high power, discuss what you saw, did you see nebulosity, what all sorts of things you may have seen. There are plenty of example observing logs that you can use, or you can make your own.
They also tell you how difficult it is,
yeah,
what size instrument you need, so
yep,
whether or not you can use a go-to scope, that kind of thing.
So how do you submit that?
Okay, so the way...
gives you all the instructions you need.
The way you submit them is on each different web page. Basically, you're sending a USB stick or a package of drawings and logs to the program coordinator. So in the past, I will tell you this, during the pandemic, when I was doing this, people wanted to, have me be the choke point and submit everything through me. But basically, I don't need to see them. I think that if you're a professional and you're interested in this hobby, you can go, direct to the coordinator. I don't need to see your logs. If you're under 18, I do. But if you're over 18, then please send them directly. And basically, the instructions and the address of where to send it is all on the site. Okay.
It's fairly simple to do. Scan your logs. Don't send them the originals. Make sure that you have everything that's your required element. Send it via email to that coordinator. They're usually great folks, and if you have questions, they'll help you. Some of the programs will tell you that as you're getting started, reach out to the coordinator, like the Analemma program. That's a pretty high consequence one to make an error early on, because it takes you a year to get to trace out the Analemma. So I encourage you to communicate with them. But I mean, I have examples of what submissions look like, so you can see that.
All right, so there's lots of options, like this slide says. Like anything where you're trying to scope what you should do, you ask these questions. What equipment do you have? Is it manual or automated? How experienced are you? Are you novice, intermediate, or experienced? Where will you be observing from? Are you visual, or are you using a camera imaging? What am I interested in observing? And should I start with something small, like the challenge that Jeremy did? Okay. So most people in this, hobby tend to gravitate toward the Messier objects, but that's really, in the opinion of the Astronomical League, not the best place to begin. So you can enter the Master Observer progression. We've had several members do that here. I know George has. Who else is in the Master Observer progression? Anybody else? No? Yes? Maybe.
I'm working on it.
Who?
I'm working on my Masters.
Oh, okay. All right. So Ben Loyola is working on the Master Observer. Okay. So even if you have no interest in becoming a Master Observer, it includes a progression, which looks like this. Okay, so you start over here with an Observer Award, and then even outside of that, you can use For Your Eyes Only Observing Certificate or a Binocular Master Observer, which feeds into this thing that's the ultimate Uber prize, the Master Observer Triple Crown. How do you get to the Triple Crown? Is this flowchart. So you can complete the Observer Award, Advanced Observer Award, and if you're imaging, you're over on the right side of the flowchart, Master Imager, Advanced Imager, Master Observer, Platinum, and your gold. And then if you get all those, then you can do the Triple Crown certificate. Interestingly, if you get all these, the Astronomical League just mails you a Triple Crown. Okay.
It's worth it. Okay.
All right. So the Observer Award, which is the first block up here in the flowchart, you can go for the award or use it to know which observing programs are entry level. So you got to do five of those. Okay. And there are some that are required that are listed here. Okay. All right. So if
that's an error. It's something from those. Oh, no, it's fine.
Okay. All right. So you have no equipment. So you're for your eyes only award. You have to complete eight of these. Like Jeremy mentioned, there's an NLM up. There's astronomy for the telescope. Looking at the Orion the Hunter, which is very easy this time of year, and these other projects as well. Okay, and there's gold level and eyes only, and that's basically, again, you're shooting for the beginning of your flow chart to get toward your Triple Crown. Now, if you happen to have binoculars, you can do the Binocular Master Observing Award, and lo and behold, there's a list. And you have to complete eight of those. Okay, so if I was new to the hobby in 2026, and I was entering, I would probably do this because I got some 20 by 80s and some plain Jane 10 by 50 binoculars, and I still enjoy using those to this day because there's objects that are really just better suited for wide field. You don't need to have a 20-inch Dobsonian to look at, narrow field of view, deep sky objects to appreciate the hobby. Sometimes it's fun just to look at the Pleiades through your binoculars, okay? All right.
Is there a more basic course?
What do you mean by basic?
A little bit further back, like the next page forward, like seeing iDog or something where you see with your eyes, not with binoculars.
Okay, well, I think what you're talking about is for your eyes only over here on the far left.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay, no dog required.
You guys are all masters, but well, in my eyes, you guys are like.
There are some very just scratching the surface level programs. One of them is.
I'm going to work in this mess of this.
Program, another is the Universe Sample.
Can you imagine breathing down?
Say again? Ben, are you talking? Okay, moving on. Okay.
I appreciate you guys.
So the Master Observer for binoculars, here's your list. Okay. So if you have a telescope, then you get into, more of what we talked about here at the beginning, which is double stars, galaxies, the one I'm doing down here, globular clusters, planetary nebula, Mars, Jupiter, satellites, variable stars. Anyhow, I guarantee you, if we went to the Jupiter program, probably what you're going to end up doing is sketching the motion of the moons as they move back and forth through the night. Okay, so you'd send your sketches in on different dates and send that into the coordinator. Okay, more for telescopes, moon, galaxies, constellations, by hemisphere, the sun. Some of these are really advanced. I've looked into.
I highly recommend the Lunar Award and the Lunar 2 Award.
Okay.
When I first started out in astronomy 25 years ago, I tried the Messier objects. I couldn't see a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to look at something I could see, and that was the moon.
With a short tube 80?
No, with an 8-inch dog.
Okay.
But then I got the Lunar Award.
Okay.
The first one in the club to get it.
Okay.
And then on, a lot of people started working on the awards.
So
that's a fun one, too.
The there's some incredibly advanced citizen science ones in here. I looked at spectrometry, which is in here. Spectrometry is very, very challenging. It's in here somewhere. I got a little grading and I looked into that, and they wanted me to go find spectroscopic binaries. Okay, I'm out. I have no interest in, you know, trying to get the camera more money to, you know, has the resolution to capture a spectroscopic binary with the $90 grading I bought. Okay, so I'm out. So
can you cheat?
No, you cannot cheat.
Can you go to the university astronomical?
No, you cannot cheat.
You have to use your own equipment.
So I will advise you that the program coordinators for these are very good. They look at probably 40 or 50 submissions a year. Okay. And they have very exacting standards. Okay. All right. So what if I don't want to do 50 or 100 objects? Like Jeremy mentioned, you can do these observing challenges. We talked about two of those at the very beginning. There's one was a Hubble challenge, and the other was a Comet 3I Atlas. Okay. So the NASA observing challenges, and then special events related to astronomical objects flying through the solar system. Okay. So what's happening now? This is actually the part of the Astronomical League world that I use the most. I teach a separate astronomy course on my own for other organizations, and I use these. Okay. So if you go to this projecting looking thing, bat signal looking thing, okay, icon at the bottom of the top page of the website, there's monthly sky charts and celestial events and tools. So one of them is the monthly sky chart. Okay. I actually print these out and I hand them out at the course I teach, and I find them very useful for people who don't know squat about astronomy. I say, okay, take these outside at night and, you know, look at the instructions, and based on what I teach them, they're able to use these to star hop. Okay. If we don't have Gabe here to become our star hopping expert. Okay. They can.
Sorry.
The Big Dipper to find Polaris and bunches of other objects. Right? And they run these every month. Okay. And entonces in Espanol. So you can look at the night sky in Spanish. Okay. So I have yet to teach my class in Spanish. That's my next challenge. Okay. So in addition to this, they have a monthly sky event PDF, something to find in the sky that's usually smaller in angular size than the entire sky. And for those of you that were, you know, sitting out at, you know, Surrey or somewhere in New York or perhaps, and didn't get to see the eclipse, you could relive it vicariously through this little thing here. And you could read this and pretty much figure out, okay, you know, this is what it looks like. Okay. they've done pretty much everything on these. What I do like about what they've done on a couple of these is they kind of, like they did one on planetary alignments. How many people got questions about the planetary alignment in February? Oh my God. It's like, okay. So I had to explain that amazingly, the planets align fairly often, okay, on this line called the ecliptic. Okay. So they did one here on the ecliptic. So when it happened the last time about 3 years ago, I printed this out and took it to work and just handed it out to people. I said, leave me alone here, you know, go look at your alignment here. All right. And lastly on that page is, what they call What's Up Doc. Which I guess is a reference to Bugs Bunny. Everybody know who Bugs Bunny is? You know who Bugs Bunny is?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. All right. Does everybody else know who Bugs Bunny is? All right. So what this is kind of a oblique reference to that. So this is actually fairly useful. So this lists the meteor showers all for that particular month done by this gentleman at this observatory. They actually bounce the observatories around, but it's also for this Eastern time zone. So you can do this, the times that are in here and the dates that are here are relative to your current longitude. Okay, so you're not out of whack. So they list the constellations, binocular programs. So if you were working on the binocular Messier program, all of the objects in all of these different programs, they're all numbered. Okay, there's 190 of these. I guess 110 Messier objects. Okay, so there's 110 in there. And what WhatsApp Doc will do for you is it will tell you by number what's easy, medium, and hard, and what you would use your 20 by 80 big binoculars to find. Okay, deep sky binoculars, Messier programs, what all Caldwell objects are, you know, visible at, I think there's a time zone. It's probably, you know, from about sunset to midnight. Double stars, what's going on with all the planets, what's going on with the sun, what sunset is, and all of the different lunar events, and including what they call those, the librations. Okay, so if you're familiar with the libration of the moon, they'll list them all in there. All right, and major astronomical events. So what you can look forward to for that particular month. Okay, all right. So I really like that particular aspect of the site the most. Yeah. So I think the Astronomical League, there's a lot of people that spend a lot of their spare time, or maybe if they're retired full time, pumping information into this website. So use it. There's not many hobbies that people external to your hobby spend a lot of time binning everything for you. This is literally, I was a Boy Scout. This is literally, you know, astronomy merit badges for adults. So they've literally laid it all out. Here's what you got to do. You check it all off and you send it in and you get some nice, you can't steal my book. Okay. All right. So you get a nice lanyard of bling to show off your astronomical prowess to all your friends. With that, that concludes my brief. And if I have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Could you finally show how to get into the observing menu items? Where is that drop down from the Astronomical League?
Okay. So it's.
So you were coming down and down and down looking at the programs, right?
So observe.
Observe.
And then you go to observing programs listed alphabetically, and it gives you the long list. There's a couple other ways you can find your way around, but that's the easiest way to see all.
Thank you.
Okay. Other questions? Okay. All right. Time for the raffle.
Thank you, Bruce.
I realize that we're kind of we're short on time. It's already 9 o'clock. However, there's a few books here that have done these programs. I've got my binder as well to set up for all the programs I'm working on. Happy to give advice or questions, answer questions. We have a few lanyards here in case people need them, but we also have a door prize. Yes, Javier.
Real quick to everybody that goes up to the telescopes and everything like that. I am brand new. My lenses are plastic looking. I do have good telescopes. Somebody tested it and then they brought their lens out and put it on my telescope and said, oh, that you don't have a good lens. So if you're selling lenses or you have lenses that you want to get rid of, I will buy them from you. So I'll have to order it online. I have no idea what I'm looking for online, and I'm afraid to buy something and then it gets to me and I'm like, oh, this is not it.
So what I would suggest doing, Javier, is come out and look through some other people's stuff,
yeah.
Get a feel for what you like, bring your telescope borrow some of my pieces. So
oh, yeah, they're always in my trunk.
Yeah, but that way, try it before you buy. You happen to be one of the largest and most active astronomical amateur astronomy clubs in the country. So take advantage of that. And the probably 3-4 centuries worth of astronomy experience in the room.
And who prepares telescopes? Anybody? I have a small one that you know, it's a little cheapy thing.
The answer is YouTube.
YouTube. While I have you all still trapped, because you want to know who wins the door prize, two last announcements. One, as Bruce briefly alluded to, the president of the Astronomical League did reach out to all the club presidents and Alcor saying, please remind your folks that we don't go fishing, so you might be getting some emails that are purportedly from the Astronomical League. They're probably not, especially if they're asking for your renewal information. The club pays for your astronomical league membership. It's part of your membership fee. So please don't fall for any of those phishing scams. The other thing, and I'm going to be, yes, George. The other thing I'm going to be a little bit careful about saying, because this is an apolitical club, but everyone is probably aware that every year there are more and more streetlights, there are more and more satellites. The FCC has recently received two proposals to launch on behalf of Starlink a million more Starlink satellites between now and I believe 2037. And there's another company that's looking to put mirrors in the sky to provide pay for sunlight for street lighting at night.
I tried that about 20 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, the odds of it working are low. As a former strategic missile submarine officer, I'm horrified by the idea of putting 50,000 controllable mirrors in space. But that's, you know, what about the Death Star? Hey, it doesn't take a lot to do that math. Anyway, yes, you do have an opportunity for input. The deadline for the input on the Starlink proposal is tomorrow, and the deadline for input on the mirror thing is on March 9th. If you got the email from the astronomical or through the Night Sky Network that I sent out for the March update last night, you have links on how to go over the details, how to get an account with the FCC so that you can submit your comments. Maybe you like satellites and you're saying thumbs up. Maybe you'd like to preserve the night sky for the good of humans and animals and bees, which are animals, and plants and such things. You know, up to you. You know, we're just putting out information, not trying to strong arm any particular activity. Okay, that said.
So basically, whatever you want to put out, it can't be reversed.
What's that?
It won't be able to be reversed.
This is the law. This is FCC approval for them to put these satellites up there. So,
Hey, Jeremy.
Sir.
Can I share on the Astro League? I wanted to give some input. I mean, as amateur astronomers, I can't encourage people enough to at least try one Astro League program. And if you've ever been around when folks are looking through your telescope and they have a oh my moment, or they get the, you know, a little chill and all excited because they've seen something for the first time, every program in the Astro League will give you that many times. There's this amazing, the personal gratification and the reward that you'll get by going through any one of the programs. It's incredibly rewarding and it is challenging. So I would ask anybody that has not done one, whether it be visual or astronomical imager, just find one and get it done, because once you do one, you'll want to do another one. It's very rewarding and an acknowledgement of your achievement. It will make you learn your telescope better. It will make you learn the sky better, and that's something that you can always cherish as well as share with other people. And that's one of the beautiful things about this program. So just can't encourage people enough. And please, if you haven't done one, break open the website and take a look and grab one and go with it. You'll be very, very rewarded, and you'll go for more. You'll get addicted.
Good. Thanks, Ben. I appreciate that. And frankly, if you find yourself uncertain or you're thinking about something, don't be afraid to put a message out on the groups.io or in our Discord saying that you're thinking about doing a program. There's probably someone who's done it. Honestly, it's probably either George or Jonathan or both. But even if there isn't someone who's done it, there's probably someone who'd be willing to do it with you. So don't be afraid to try. Also, on the subject of things that Bruce talked about, he spoke gloriously and glowingly of the Peterson Field Guide for Stars and Planets. So tonight's door prize is, in fact, another copy of that. If you end up winning this one and in the door prize raffle at the East Coast Star Party...
You got two hands.
You have two eyes. That'd be great. But since Bruce inspired it, I'm going to let him draw the winning ticket.
Let's go 3666. 666.
The ticket of the beast. Last two?
Somebody has triple six.
2353.
353.
All right.
I have an old Peterson Field gun that's like 1986.
This one's a much more updated. The stars haven't moved much. I mean, they have, but from where we are. All right, so folks, that is all we have for prepared content. If you have, if you'd like your name tag, I found three people on the sign-in sheet. We do. And we also have some other stuff for the Astronomical League in case people want to go over some of the materials. I'll stay behind. But failing that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? All right. Thank you, folks.